Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I read something this morning. I couldn't believe it. And you know who loves this factoid? Our next guest, because factoid probably helps him sell books. And that's the fact that of the 12 coaches in the postseason, all of them are somehow related on the coaching tree to Bill Parcells and Bill Walsh. And Bob Glauber wrote a book called Guts and Genius, the story of three unlikely coaches who came to dominate the NFL in the 80s, Parcells, Walsh, and Joe Gibbs. So, yeah, Bob, you have to love that fact, because that makes people want to go buy your book now even more.
I only love your intro to that more than that fact, because that was just brilliant and seamless, Evan. I couldn't have written that better myself, but yes. Bottom line, there are the fingerprints of Bill Parcells and Bill Walsh all over these playoffs, because they are basically the grandfathers and fathers of all the coaches collectively in this year's playoffs. It's incredible.
See, you're in a better spot than Gary Myers. Gary needs the Cowboys to get to the Super Bowl, because the longer run they go on, he can say, hey, my book about the Cowboys. You're in a win-win no matter who's in the Super Bowl. Hey, they got ties to Parcells and Walsh. Buy my book, you know? It's a good spot.
Yeah, it's a good subject, because that was, especially for fans of the 49ers, Redskins, and Giants. I mean, it's lean times right now, but back in the 80s, they were it. They just took turns winning Super Bowls, and those coaches were tremendous. It was excellent rivalries. We really don't have those rivalries today like we did back then, but it was incredible football.
Yeah, the rivalries, you know, and I think we talked about this when you were in the last time, like one of the last rivalries really was Ravens-Steelers and even Seattle-San Francisco, but they don't last a long time just because of the way the NFL is right now, where it's so difficult to keep these teams together, that these rivalries, they'll be there for a few years and then they'll go away really quick, unlike the 80s.
Yeah, and, you know, free agency has probably everything to do with that, because, you know, you can really get your team better in a hurry, and you couldn't back then. You know, the rules were basically rigged against the players. They just couldn't move. But what it did was it created a game where you knew who your team was and you knew who your players were, and those coaches knew that as well, so they could really get things done much easier than they can now, because everyone was used to those coaches and used to those teams, because there was such familiarity both among the teams and among the rivalries.
Absolutely. And speaking of Parcells, and it's amazing to think this, the last time the Jets hired a coach with prior coaching experience, head coaching experience, was Bill Parcells. And I think that's a part of why this fan base, myself included, certainly Joe, really wants a guy in this moment with past coaching experience. And it's basically Mike McCarthy, unless John Harbaugh becomes available. Where do you stand on the approach the Jets should take to this search for their next head coach?
I'm in agreement with you on that, Evan and Joe. I believe that a coach with head coaching experience and a guy with a Super Bowl championship is very beneficial in this particular hiring cycle. Now, I don't know if McCarthy is going to want this kind of setup. You know, it's a little bit potentially uncomfortable with both the general manager and the coach reporting to the owner. But, you know, I think Christopher Johnson is a sharp guy. People don't really know him and know what he's about. I've gotten to know him fairly well over the last couple of years, and he's a very decent man, and he's a sharp guy, and he's sharp about judging people. That's what I have found, and I think that works to the Jets' advantage in this particular cycle, because it's so difficult. You know, eight teams looking for coaches. You got a bunch of first time head coaches out there, and now you've got veterans. They interviewed Gase yesterday, and now McCarthy today. I think McCarthy checks a lot of boxes for the Jets. I think he'd be a terrific hire right now.
One of the critiques against him is the relationship between him and Aaron Rodgers, the fact that, like, Aaron Rodgers basically wouldn't listen to him and would ignore his play calls. Any concern over that relationship and the way it fried over the last few years?
To some degree, yes. But mostly, no. And I say that for this reason. You know, you got to look at who you're working with, and that's Sam Darnold. And Darnold does not have the Aaron Rodgers personality. You know, Rodgers is a very mercurial guy, brilliantly talented. I think he's one of the most enjoyable players to watch in the NFL. but he is a headstrong guy, just like Favre was. You know, Favre had some of those moments with Mike Holmgren. He wouldn't dare, you know, change the plays, but you know, there were some times when he didn't do what Holmgren asked him, and Holmgren, he goes, like, Brett would make a play, and he'd make a decision, and I go, no, 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 and then all of a sudden it's a touchdown, and I go, yes, yes, yes. So that's the kind of player Rodgers can be. So if McCarthy comes in here working with Darnold is a much more agreeable person. He's not, it's still early for him. He's 21 years old, and he might change. But I don't see it. I think it would be beneficial. You know, I think Darnold is a sponge, and he right. needs knowledge. He hasn't played that long because he didn't play much in high school and college. So I don't think it would be a problem. And I know that there are those critiques, and yes, there, you know, you have to be mindful of them. But I think in this given situation, he'd be a good guy to get in there.
I think every head coach has a critique about them. If Pete Carroll was available, we'd hear about the worst call in Super Bowl history. If Mike Tomlin was available, we'd hear about what's just gone on in that locker room with Le'Veon and Antonio Brown and Big Ben loving to criticize everybody. So I think everyone has something against them. There's usually a reason why a coach is available, you know, especially when a guy's been there for a decade and a half. At times, it's just enough's enough, and you need to move on for both sides. And I start to think that maybe that's what happened there, where it was just time to move on between two sides when you're there for 14 years, which is an incredibly long period of time. I think Bob's ignoring me. I think Bob is saying, Evan, I don't find what you're saying very interesting, so I'm going to hang up the phone and go back to reading my own book. No, we'll try to get Bob Glauber back on, but the truth is with Mike McCarthy, and really with any head coach, you can sit there and find plenty of things wrong with them because there's a reason usually why a coach becomes available. You know, Mike Tomlin's a great example of it now, and I don't think the Steelers are going to fire him, but if Mike Tomlin was available, he'd be my number one choice. But look at the issues that are going on right now in Pittsburgh. And I think everybody deserves a part of that blame. Antonio Brown really is coming across like a guy who's insane right now, but you got to look at the head coach to see what's going on there. We got Bob back. Bob, I was just blabbering about how, you know, after 14 years, sometimes two sides just need to break up.
In terms of McCarthy and,
yes.
and Rodgers?
Yes.
Yeah, there's – come on. It happens all the time. Look at Brady and Belichick.
Yeah.
Montana and Walsh, Parcells and Sims, they fought like cats and dogs. It happens. You're with someone 20 hours a day sometimes, and, you know, you get grinding. And it's just it's human nature. And it's okay to change, and it's okay to fight with one another. And change sometimes is good, especially in the NFL head coaching ranks, that a lot of times the coaches do better on that second go-round. Now, McCarthy, he did well on his first go-round.
Sure.
And part of it, hey, don't forget, you know, McCarthy wanted Alex Smith when he was with San Francisco. He wanted Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers held that grudge for a long time, and then all of a sudden McCarthy's his coach. And I don't know if that ever goes away.
That's interesting. I never even thought about that. Yeah, because San Francisco obviously took Alex Smith number one overall. Aaron Rodgers dropped big time. Green Bay ends up with him. Favre was ticked off about it because, you know, God forbid they draft another quarterback in the first round. But I didn't think about that could have been something that was under Aaron Rodgers' hat for a while, taking him off about his head coach.
Yeah. And look, we've seen, you know, Aaron Rodgers has some issues with his family. I'm not saying, you know, he's in the wrong. You don't know what's going on there, but, you know, you got to kind of take that thing in totality. And I wouldn't, if I'm Christopher Johnson and Mike Maccagnan, say, well, your relationship with Aaron Rodgers, I think it's going to be the, you know, the one thing that knocks you out of the competition. It shouldn't, and I don't think it will.
All right, here's the million-dollar question. As we sit here today, and maybe your view changed a little bit after hearing from Dave Gettleman and Eli Manning, where are you on if Eli is on the New York Football Giants to start the 2019 season?
Evan, I still think he's on the Giants. I don't know if he will be there on his current contract. I think that was a bit of a dance to kind of set the stage for, you know, how much value Eli Manning has to the Giants. But you look around, and what are the alternatives? Is it Joe Flacco? Is it Nick Foles? It's not going to be. If Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl, how are the Eagles going to get rid of him?
I know,
to a
right?
division rival, no less. And, you know, it's Teddy Bridgewater. You know, do you want that coming off of what he did in the last game? You know, that's not what Teddy Bridgewater is and would be. But still, the options are not great. The college draft is not great. I don't know if they go up and get Haskins, who, you know, whose stock is rising. But I think all things considered, you put it all together, I think Eli Manning is the best of a limited set of alternatives.
Looking at these playoff matchups, I think this Houston-Indianapolis game features two of the great comeback stories of the year. Obviously, Andrew Luck, who missed all of last year and was kind of hurt by his receivers and his offensive line earlier in the season, and we've seen great improvement from that line. And even J.J. Watt, who may not be the same guy he was 3 years ago, but he's healthy, and he's getting to the quarterback. Give me your thoughts on really the success of both of those elite players and how they've bounced back in this 2018 season.
It's tremendous, and I think, you know, Watt has bounced back a couple of times now for back and knee problems, and he is an exceptional player. I'm glad for the Houston Texans' sake and for NFL fans' sake that he's back to close to what he was, because he's a terrific player to watch. You know, you don't get a chance to enjoy watching defense much in the NFL anymore, but Watt is one of those guys that you love to watch, because he just, you know, every play he's 1,000%. Luck is, it's incredible. You know, there were a lot of people, and some in the NFL, who wondered whether he'd ever play again. This shoulder problem was bad. He had to go to Europe to get some treatment, and to see him get back to kind of what he was and what he is this great, determined guy who can come back. I was at the Giants-Colts game, Evan, a couple of weeks ago, and I told a bunch of people, the Giants are doing well early on. I go, hey, this guy is a second-half quarterback. Just keep that in the back of your mind. And then, boom, the script wrote itself. It's like I've seen that game so many times for Andrew Luck. He doesn't do well early on, and then he just has some resourcefulness, and he's gritty, and he's clutch, and he does that. And it is a good matchup for that reason. And those teams, they match up pretty well. I think it'll be a pretty good game.
On the other side, you know, I go back and forth on who's the best wide receiver in the NFL. One day you think it's Antonio Brown, maybe it's Julio Jones. When Odell's healthy, maybe it's him. It's tough to argue against DeAndre Hopkins right now because he's finally playing with a good quarterback. I mean, you look at the quarterbacks he's played with since he's come into the league, it's been a cavalcade of garbage. Meanwhile, Julio's got Matt Ryan. Antonio's got Big Ben. Odell's got Eli. DeAndre's had nobody till this year, and the fact he hasn't had a drop this year is incredible. I think he may be the best wide receiver on the planet right now.
Yeah, I think he is, and that no-drop stat is really amazing. You know, every receiver has some drops some seasons. And
right.
To see a guy like that have no drops, he is obviously as reliable as they get. And I love your description, a cavalcade of garbage.
He kind
of
has
the quarterbacks.
Been,
I know. He's had very, very tough quarterbacking. But, you know, here's the thing about DeAndre Hopkins. Did he ever whine about it? No.
No.
He got his contract. He deserved that contract, and he is as good a team player as there is. And it's great to see that he has emerged as the go-to guy in the NFL, and it's great to see.
I'm trying to think of all the quarterbacks he's played with, like Case Keenum, Tom Savage, T.J. Yates, Matt Schaub. I think he had a Fitzpatrick year, so that's pretty good. You know, he had the luck of a Fitzpatrick year. Obviously, now he has Deshaun Watson. Brian Hoyer was there for a year.
Sure.
Brandon Whedon. Oh, my God. It's actually insane when you think of it, especially when you compare it to the other guys that we mentioned as the elite wide receivers on this planet. You know, Odell has played with Eli Manning. That's it. You know, Antonio Brown has Ben Roethlisberger 98% of the time. That's it. Julio's got Matt Ryan. Like, it's such a far cry between that and what DeAndre's had.
Yeah. There's one player this year who, you know, George Kittle, the tight end from San Francisco.
Yep.
Now, he has played great at an all-pro level with, I wouldn't say, maybe you would say a cavalcade of garbage, but you'd say, you know, questionable quarterbacking once Garoppolo went down, and he has made the most of that. So you love to see that, and I think that really kind of separates players. You know, what do they do when it's difficult, when there's some adversity? How do they respond? And Hopkins, he just went on, and, you know, if the ball doesn't get there with one of those, you know, cavalcade quarterbacks, he just, you know, jogs back and says, okay, let's try it again.
He does it. We're talking to Bob Glauber, author of Guts and Genius. The game tonight is very old school in that it's two teams that run the football. They stop the run in Seattle-Dallas. What do you think is going to happen tonight?
I like Seattle in this one. I don't think home field advantage is what it used to be, and particularly in this matchup. I love Russell Wilson. And it will be a running game, but I think Wilson is a difference maker. He is a big game player. Guy makes something out of nothing just about every time. And Pete Carroll has that team believing I remember talking to him at the NFL owners meetings before the season, and he was, I guess Pete says, you know, he's like a little kid. He says, hey, I'm jacked up, man. I'm jacked up. I love this team. And you know, he talks fast, and he said, well, Pete, you're losing so many. You're losing the Legion of Boom. How are you going to do this? He says, no, we got good players coming up. It's not that big of a transition, and he has steered it very, very well, and that team is deserving of being in the playoffs, and I think they get the edge there in Dallas.
I said this earlier, and maybe you could talk me off the ledge here, because I'm rooting heavily for the Ravens. I made a little bit of a financial investment in them at the beginning of the season. I took a little flyer on them, a very legal bet in the state of New Jersey. It scares me that the Charger defense has seen this, that they're only 3 weeks removed from seeing Lamar Jackson, from seeing Gus Edwards, from seeing a team that runs the football as often as they do. Is that a fair concern about this Raven team, since this is the first time Lamar is facing a team for the second time?
Yeah, I think it's a fair concern. You know, we don't know what we're going to get from Lamar Jackson in his first playoff game. He's going to be the youngest player in NFL history, or the youngest quarterback in NFL history, to start a playoff game. So, you know, it's still all new for him. But he's handled himself really, really well. I'm fascinated to watch what he has done. And I think John Harbaugh shows that there are ways to win football games when you think there might not be. You know, this is not a conventional type situation. And, you know, Harbaugh has done a really good job. Marty Morningweg has done a very good job as the offensive coordinator. He's taken a lot of shots over the years, but he's done a terrific job finding ways to get Lamar Jackson productive. So I'm as concerned, if I'm a Charger fan, about that Raven defense facing Phillip Rivers, who tends to make some mistakes in big spots, especially toward the end of games. I'm giving the Ravens, now we talk about home field, I think the Ravens have it in this one. It's 10 a.m. you know, Pacific time for the Chargers. I think that makes a little bit of a difference. And I think the Ravens play well at home. They're obviously going to be jacked up, you know, playing in a playoff game for the first time in a while. And it's a good situation for them. So I do like the Ravens defense as much in this game to kind of determine what happens.
Well, there is one defense better than the Ravens. That's the Bears. Do you think they can stop the Nick Foles magic?
Well, I think they can. I'm going to go with this magic for one more week, though. I think the Eagles, the way they're playing, the way they're going into the playoffs, kind of righting themselves after that wobble, especially in New Orleans. You know, maybe we get a matchup there, a rematch there. I just think there's that it factor about the defending champions. They find a way. And what is Mitchell Trubisky? I think we'll find out. You know, obviously a big spot here. And Trubisky, man, he's hot and cold. And when he's cold, he makes these boneheaded plays that I think the Eagles can kind of force him into a couple things that would make the difference there. So I'll go the road team in that one.
You know, a lot of people, and rightfully so, with the year they've had, with the year Patrick Mahomes has had, is buying that this is finally the year. We talk about the Jets waiting a long time. The Kansas City Chiefs haven't been to a Super Bowl since the one after the Jets Super Bowl, Super Bowl IV. It's been a damn long time. And in ways, it's been worse for the Chiefs because they've lost a lot of playoff games at home. The Jets very rarely, if ever, play playoff games at home. It's the 16-year anniversary of the last time they've done it. But maybe it's Andy Reid. Maybe it's the history of things. I'm skeptical the Kansas City Chiefs win these two games in their building and get to the Super Bowl. Their defense is awful, and I think that's being nice. They obviously lost Kareem Hunt a few weeks ago. And Andy Reid's got a history of this. I mean, this is not new. What's your feeling for Kansas City 1 week out from their return to the postseason?
You know, Evan, I feel better about the Chiefs this time because of Mahomes. And I think Andy Reid, you know, Andy Reid gets a rap for being conservative in big moments, and I think that's well deserved. But he's never had a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. And even McNabb at his best was not as good as Mahomes, you know, and this is the first year as a starter. It's like you wonder, you know, what's this guy's ceiling? I think Reid can be more aggressive. He got caught a little bit in that game against San Diego a couple weeks ago when they blew the 14-point lead. I think not having Kareem Hunt there really hurt. I think it will hurt not having Kareem Hunt. But, man, this guy, he can make up for a lot of bad things. Now, the question is, can he make up for a woeful defense? And Bob Sutton, he is a punching bag out there, defensive coordinator of Kansas City, the former Jets coach and defensive coordinator. He's got a lot of talent there, but they keep getting mashed, and they keep getting gashed, and they keep getting, you know, thrown over the top, and it's you can't have that if you're a Super Bowl champion. But But I think Mahomes can mask a lot of that weakness, and if they can just be resourceful enough playing defense, I think they can get there.
We'll see. Yeah, it's one of those things where that would be, we kind of forget, maybe we forget in New York because we have the Jets, how long it's been for that franchise. It's kind of incredible how they've had quite a drought in winning that big game, and they've had so many good teams. You think back to the early 90s when they had home playoff games. They would win 12 or 13 games. Joe Montana, AFC title game.
Yep.
Yeah, they had a shot, and it feels like maybe this is their best opportunity since then, but we'll see. I don't know. Andy Reid, I still worry about, but as long as the Pats aren't there, Bob, that's all I ask for. I don't need to see him again.
I fear the Ravens as much as the Pats for them.
Yeah,
because the Ravens can kind of overpower you, and that defense is just so vulnerable. But I don't know. I think the Patriots defense has shown some nicks there, and I don't know. I for some reason I fear the Ravens a little bit more, even in Kansas City, than the Patriots. Because I don't think the Patriots are what they were. You know, we might see it.
Right.
They might just kind of pull the rabbit out again, but they've got some issues there.
Yeah, they do, and this is the fear I've had now for 5 weeks, and it's not that unrealistic, and I'll paint it to you. The Kansas City Chiefs blow it like they did last year, divisional weekend. They lose to whoever it is. They lose in their own building. And now all of a sudden, Bob, the New England Patriots, flaws and all, have the AFC freaking championship game at Gillette. And remember, they're 8-0 at home, and the road still goes to New England. I can see that scenario, and despite their flaws, if that happens, they're probably back in the Super Bowl.
Well, then you're talking Kansas City choking in its first playoff game. So,
yep.
Well,
I saw that last year.
Yeah. Yeah, but you didn't have Mahomes there.
I know.
You know, and he's a difference maker. To me, he is the most enjoyable player to watch in the NFL. If you had a matchup of, say, Chiefs, Rams, or Chiefs Saints in the Super Bowl, how great would that be?
Yeah, it would be.
You don't like that?
No, here's my problem. I like defense. You know, I thought that Chief-Ram game in the regular season was too much. I just thought it was too much. Like, I enjoyed the Cowboys-Saint game more. Give me some freaking defense, please.
Evan,
How old are you? I'm 35/85.
What's next? Get off my lawn? You're yelling at a cloud? Come on. Relax, kid.
I'm sorry. It's so funny when we talk different sports. Like when we talk NBA, I'm the opposite. I tell Joe the modern NBA is awesome. Give me the offense. Who needs to see the 90-75-72 game? I'm all over the modern NBA. With baseball, I'm old school. With football, I mean, I'm all over the place. I'm a confused guy, Bob. What can I tell you?
But it is confusing because, like, and that game in particular, you know, there was a lot of great defense there. There were interception returns, fumble returns for touchdowns. There were defensive plays, but they just got away from everybody. And I know there were times in that game I'm thinking, oh, please, someone make a stop. But they did make stops. And then those offenses, it was like the height of the most brilliant offensive minds going, and it just reached it in that game.
You want me to give you a sexy Super Bowl? I want you to picture this right now down in Atlanta. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah.
The Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens. Oh, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be something. Could you imagine, though, if a rookie quarterback makes it to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and not only a rookie quarterback, Bob, as you said, the youngest quarterback to have ever started a playoff game.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That would be awesome.
Amazing. I'll be at the Ravens game tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that.
All right, we'll get it done for the Ravens. I need a W.
All right.
The book is Guts and Genius, the story of three unlikely coaches who came to dominate the NFL in the 80s, and all 12 of these coaches have a tie to two of those three guys, Bill Parcells and Bill Walsh. Bob, I appreciate all the time. Enjoy the football.
Thank you, Evan. You too.